My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are holy,
enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted.
They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued.
In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
But I am a worm and not a man,
scorned by mankind and despised by the people.
All who see me mock me.
They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Yet you are he who took me from the womb.
You made me trust you at my mother's breast.
On you was I cast from my birth.
And from my mother's womb, you have been my God.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
And there is none to help.
Many bulls encompass me.
Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their mouths at me.
Like a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
For dogs encompass me.
A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them.
And for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword.
My precious life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him.
And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him.
But has heard when he cries to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
And he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall all go down to the dust, even the one who did not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn.
That he has done it.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the Lord of the arm been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of God to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Jesus went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee."
Peter answered and said to him,
"Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I say to you, this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But Peter said more vehemently,
"If I have to die with you, I will never deny you."
And all the others said likewise. They went over the brook Kedron and came to a place which is called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said to them,
"Sit down here while I go on ahead and pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation."
He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them,
"My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch with me."
He went on a little from them, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will."
An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And he prayed, saying,
"Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will."
In agony, he prayed more earnestly,
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."
His sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
He went away again the second time and prayed, saying,
"Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done."
When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still asleep and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here."
Thank you.
Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came out with a detachment and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went out to them and said,
"Whom do you seek?"
They answered him,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus said to them,
"I am he."
Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them,
"Whom do you seek?"
They said,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus replied,
"I told you that I am he. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go."
This was to fulfill the words he had spoken.
"Of those you gave me, I have lost none."
Now he that was betraying Jesus had given him a sign, saying,
"The one whom I shall kiss, that is he. Seize him, and be sure to take him away securely."
He went straight up to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Master,"
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, why have you come? Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?"
They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were with him saw what would happen, they said to him,
"Lord, shall we strike him with the sword?"
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus answered,
"No more of that."
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?"
Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against him,
"Have you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs to take me? When I was with you day after day teaching in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour, and the hour of the power of darkness. All this has happened that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth about his naked body. They laid hold on him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people.
Thank you.
Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house, where the scribes and all elders were assembled. Peter followed them afar off, and so did other disciples. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door, so that the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the game. He was warming himself at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that they might make the case for a death sentence. But they could not find him. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said,
"We heard him say, 'I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days I shall build another, not made with hands.'"
But even on this point, their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus.
"Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you?"
But he was silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest put a question to him and said,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?"
Jesus said,
"I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
The high priest tore his garment and said,
"Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They all agreed that he was deserving of death. Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him,
"Prophesy to us, O Christ. Who is it that struck you?"
The guards beat him, and as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire and said,
"You also were along with the man from Nazareth, that Jesus."
Peter denied it and said,
"I do not know what you mean."
He went out to the forecourt. Another maidservant saw him there and said to those who were standing around,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Peter denied it again with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, those standing around said to Peter,
"Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away."
Peter started calling down curses on himself and swore,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter broke down and went out and wept bitterly. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes held a court session with all the Sanhedrin. Then they bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Then Judas, who had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, was sorry and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying,
"I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood."
They said,
"What is that to us? That is your affair."
Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. He went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said,
"It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood."
They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field, a very stranger sin. That is why to this day that field has been called the field of blood. In this way was fulfilled what was spoken in Jeremiah by the prophet, saying, they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by the children of Israel, and gave for them the potter's field. When they had bound Jesus, they led him from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment and gave him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was early. They themselves did not want to go into the judgment hall so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate went out to them and said,
What charge do you bring against this man?
They answered and said to him,
If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you.
Then Pilate said to them,
Take him then, and judge him according to your law.
The Jews said to him,
It is not lawful for us to put any man to death.
So the word of Jesus was fulfilled, satisfying by what death he should die. The charges they brought against him were, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered him,
Do you say this for yourself, or did others say it to you about me?
Pilate answered,
Do you take me for a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have given you over to me. What have you done?
Jesus answered,
My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought that I should not be given over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world.
Pilate therefore said to him,
Are you a king then?
Jesus answered,
You say rightly that I am a king. I was born and I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice.
Pilate said to him,
What is truth?
After he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them,
I find no fault in this man.
The chief priests kept laying one charge after another against him, but he answered not a word. Pilate questioned him again, saying,
Do you answer nothing? See how many charges they lay against you.
Jesus answered him not a word. Pilate was utterly amazed. He said to the chief priests and the crowd,
I find no case against this man.
They pressed their charges more vehemently.
He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place.
When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him on to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem for these days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was delighted, for he had long wished to see him because of what he had heard of him, and he hoped to see him do a miracle. He questioned Jesus repeatedly, but he gave no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Herod and his soldiers mocked him. They put a splendid robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that same day, for before this they had been at enmity with one another. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them,
You have brought this man before me as one subverting the people. See now, I have examined him before you and have found nothing in this man guilty of any of your charges against him, and neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Mark this, he has done nothing worthy of death. I will have him punished and release him.
Now, at the feast, it was the governor's custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner whom they asked for. They had then notorious prisoner named Barabbas. He was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection in the city. Pilate knew that it was out of malice that the chief priests handed Jesus over. Therefore he said to them,
"Do you want me to release for you Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?"
The chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate asked them again,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they cried out all together, saying,
"Away with this man, and release for us Barabbas."
While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message,
"Do not have anything to do with that man. I have suffered much over him today in a dream."
Again, Pilate addressed him, for he wished to release Jesus. He said to him,
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? What shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?"
They all cried out,
"Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I have found no guilt worthy of death in him. I will therefore punish him and let him go."
They cried out all the louder,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers of the government led him away into the praetorium. They gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a purple robe on him. When they had woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. They knelt down and did him homage. Pilate went out again and said to them,
"See, I bring him out to you, that you may know I find him not guilty."
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them,
"Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I do not find him guilty."
The Jews answered him,
"We have the law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus,
Where are you from?"
Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you?"
Jesus answered,
"You would not have any power at all over me unless it had been given to you from above. For that reason, he who handed me over to you has the greater sin."
This prompted Pilate to go on trying to release him. But the Jews cried out,
"If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar."
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, or in Hebrew, Garbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews,
"Behold your king."
They cried out,
"Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priests answered,
"We have no king but Caesar."
When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather a riot was underway, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of the blood of this man. See to it yourselves."
Then all the people responded,
His blood be on us and on our children.
Then Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, gave sentence that it should be as they demanded. He released to them Barabbas, for whom they asked, the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. He had Jesus flogged, and then gave him over to their will to be crucified. The soldiers mocked him, stripped him of his purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him.
Thank you.
The soldiers now had charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out of the city to a place called Skull Hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. As they led him away, they laid hold of Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the country. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Following him was a great company of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things with a green tree, what will happen with a dry one?"
There were also two others, criminals, who they had led along to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, they gave him wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was the third hour, and there they crucified him. Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
The two criminals they also crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left, with Jesus in the middle. The scripture was then fulfilled, which said, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they cast lots to divide his clothes and decide what each should take. They made four parts, one for each soldier. There remained his tunic, which was without seam, woven in one piece from top to bottom. They said to one another,
"Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide who shall have it."
The scripture was thus fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." These things the soldiers did, and sitting down, they kept watch over him here. Over his head was put the charge against him. Pilate wrote the notice to be put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate,
You should not write, "The King of the Jews." But this man said, "I am a king of the Jews."
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
People stood by, watching. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. And if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him to one another, saying,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe. He trusted God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him wine and saying,
"If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
The thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him, and one of the criminals who hung there with him railed at him,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
But the other rebuked him, saying,
"Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Near to the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of them who were standing there heard it, they said,
He is calling for Elijah.
After this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Fulfilling the scripture, he said,
"I thirst."
There was a jar of wine standing there. One of them ran immediately to get a sponge. He filled it with wine, put it on a reed, held it up to his mouth, and gave him to drink. Others said,
Wait and see if Elijah will come and save him.
When Jesus had received the wine, he cried with a loud voice,
"It is finished."
Then he said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he died, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
All the people who had gathered to see the sight, when they saw what had happened, turned away beating their breasts. Those who had known him stood at a distance, as also the women who had followed him from Galilee. Among them was Mary Magdalene, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
Thank you.
It was the day of preparation before the Sabbath, and this was the Sabbath Passover. Therefore, so that the body should not remain on the cross during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. So the soldiers came and broke the legs, first of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. One who saw it is our witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. At this time, evening had come. A respected member of council, Joseph of Arimathea, was one who was looking for the kingdom of God, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their purpose and deed. He was a disciple of Jesus secretly, for he feared the Jews. Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was astonished that he could be dead already. He called for the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he was assured by the centurion that it was so, Pilate granted Joseph the corpse and commanded that it should be given over to him. Joseph brought fine linen and came back and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus came also, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. It was he who had first come to Jesus by night. They then took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen cloths with spices, as was the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, where no one had ever been buried. Joseph laid the body in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were sitting there opposite the sepulchre and saw where he was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to commandment. On the next day, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees went together to Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that the sepulcher be made secure until the third day to stop his disciples from coming and stealing him and saying to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' making the final deception worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you know how."
So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
In the name of Jesus, God crucified. Amen. For 3 hours, darkness covered the land. The earth shook and the rocks split when Jesus breathed his last. His death absorbed the wrath of God against all unrighteousness. His death brought sacrifices and services in the temple to a halt. The blood of bulls and goats were no longer needed when the blood of Jesus was poured out. His death broke open tombs and gave life to the dead. His death brought the Roman centurion to his knees as he confessed, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Mount Calvary, tonight, is a bookend to Mount Sinai. Between these two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary, is a distance of about 1,500 centuries and about 240 miles. On Mount Sinai, the Lord gave his written law, the Ten Commandments. Having saved his people from slavery and death in Egypt, he describes who they will be. A people who will have him as their God, who will use his name to call upon him, who will hold his word sacred, who will honor parents and respect authorities, who will help and support their neighbors in every bodily need, who will honor and uphold marriage, who will protect their neighbors' property and possessions, who will defend their neighbors' reputations, who will be content with the people and the things God gives them, and who will not do anything against these commandments. In Exodus, after the Lord gave these commandments, it says, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen. Do not let God speak to us, lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood far off, while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." They were right to be afraid. They were right to fear God's wrath, to fear his condemnation and his punishment of sin. But there at Sinai, they had only the smallest glimpse of what that meant. Like us, God's people Israel broke his law, even before Moses came down the mountain with the tablets. They broke his law over and over again, in thought, in word, and in deed. By the evil they did and by the good things that they failed to do, their thoughts and desires were soiled with sin. Their fear of God didn't last long. That's why God sent his Son, sent him in our flesh, sent him as our substitute, our perfect substitute. Perfect in carrying out God's will as he should have, perfect in keeping the commandments, perfect in loving God with his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in loving his neighbor as himself. His obedience, my righteousness. And perfect, too, in suffering the punishment we deserve. Perfect in bearing the full weight of death and hell, in enduring our shame and our defilement. O perfect life of love, in perfect love he dies. The people of Israel knew they needed a mediator. They knew they needed someone to stand between them and God. They thought it was Moses, but it wasn't. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, the people thought that he was never coming back. They assumed he was dead, that it was the end. And then Moses returned alive, bringing with him the tablets of God's law, the law with its accusation, the law that shows us our sin. But Jesus, the perfect mediator, went up Mount Calvary. He wasn't bearing the tablets of God's law. He was carrying the shattered fragments from our sin. He entered the darkness. He did what needed to be done. He finished it. He brought the condemnation of the law to an end. He brought the wrath of God to an end. See, O sinner, your Savior. Consider what he has done to rescue and redeem you. Ponder his great love. It is the end of sin, the end of death, but not the end of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you will that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. If one has died for all, then all have died. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.